Brother Milby's on Tuesday night, and Brother Milby made the comment about the election. He said the saddest thing about this election is that one of them has to win.
Yeah.
And it is sad, that's right. But besides our nation, look at the church. You know we need to pray. And look at the state of the home, and certainly we're in need of praying like we never have. And so I want to try to preach on that thought this morning. A little bit about prayer. I'm not an expert in prayer. I do have a prayer book, amen, the Bible, and it'll teach us, and that's what he's dealing with here. If you would stand, if you could, and we'll honor the reading of the Word of the Lord together, and I'll read just a few verses and then let you be seated. I want to read the first 13 verses. The Bible says, verse number 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place," our Lord was praying, "when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And as he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for I have a friend of mine, or for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to stand again and proclaim the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the good meals we've received already from the Word of God last night and then again already today. And then the good meal that we had in the flesh and in our fellowshipping together. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would bless this church, bless the work of God here. Do great and mighty things. Move among us, dear God, as thy people. Help us to be strengthened and stirred and glorify thy name. Lord, I pray, do that work that needs to be done and you get the glory for it all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Back in 1939, there was a man preached in a Keswick convention. If you may be familiar with that in England, the convention that they have there. And he had the mornings was the introduction. He would preach on prayer. There's seven days. He had the first 2 minutes. He preached 7 2-minute sermons on prayer. His name was Guy H. King. So many people got help from that they wanted him to write a book. He wrote a book entitled Prayer Secrets. And the first secret starts from this text. And that's some of the idea of what I want to use this morning to help. They produced the book the next year, 1940. Of course, right at the opening of World War II there in England and all that was going on there. I believe God saw that they needed to be praying like they never had, and he produced that book, and God blessed it, and it had a great ministry. You can still get that book today. Matter of fact, Brother Grisham had one sometime back. I know you can get them online. But my point is that this Bible is filled with prayer secrets.
Right.
If you don't like the word secret, with keys to aid us in getting a hold of God. And the first one is here, and that's this. There is an invitation to pray. Prayer begins with God. It's just like salvation. Salvation didn't begin with us when we decided, well, I believe I'll get saved today.
No.
God started working. There's already been said last night and today. I'm glad for the working of God. Amen. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is still reproving men of their sin. Amen. Reproving us of our wickedness, our rebellion against God. And he points us out that we're a sinner. Well, the same thing happens. The Holy Ghost begins showing us the need, giving us the burden to pray. And so there's three steps in prayer. And the first step starts with God. And we see it right here. Look at verse number 9. In verse number 9. And I say unto you. We're saying to God, now God, we're going to pray. We need you to fix up this thing of prayer. We want you to open up a prayer line. No, God said, I've fixed up this thing about prayer. I've opened the prayer line. And God says, I say unto you, ask. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So the Lord takes the first step, and he says, ask. And of course, you know, ask, seek, and knock. You take the first letter, A-S-K, and it spells ask. God did say, call unto me. He's the one made that proclamation. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. And so I'm glad that God has opened the door to prayer. Amen. Now, having said that, there's a few things I want to say about God having the first move. Prayer is not us barging into God's presence. Prayer is not us beating the door down and getting into God's presence. No, the door's open. He's opened the door. Amen. I heard an old hillbilly preacher say one time several years ago up in the mountains of Virginia. He said over there where the Bible says, talks about let us come boldly into the throne of grace. He said the Hebrew hillbilly there says the door's open. You don't have to stop and knock. Amen. The door's open. When I was a boy, you'd go to people's house. It was before they had doorbells. Amen. And you'd go to somebody's house, and a lot of times the door wouldn't even be shut, just be a screen door. And you'd go knock on the door or knock on the post of the porch, and here's what they'd say. They'd say, come on in, the door's open. Amen. They were inviting us. They were welcoming us in. Amen. Well, that's what our God said about prayer. God said, you don't have to beat down the door. The door's open. Just ask. Amen. I'm glad that he has. He's given us that blessing and invited us to pray. Secondly, not only is it not us forcing our way into God's presence, but it's not us wrestling something away from a reluctant God. We don't have a stingy Heavenly Father. Amen. He longs to bless us. He longs to give. Amen. And so he said, ask, and it shall be given you. Amen. And so thank God he's willing to give, I believe, more than we even are willing to ask. Amen. Prayer is not breaking the law of God's universe. People say, well, now, I've heard people say, well, I don't believe prayer really changes things. Prayer just changes the person praying. Oh, no. Prayer does change the person praying. I'm glad it does. But prayer does change things. Amen. We read in the Bible, prayer has stopped the sun and the moon in their tracks. Amen. Prayer has healed disease. Prayer has raised the dead. Prayer has done mighty things in the scripture. Matter of fact, that's what God said at the end of that. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. God can, it's not just supernatural things. I believe prayer is a force of God's nature. You know why the sun gets up every morning? Because God told it to. Amen. You know why the world's still spinning? Ain't got one thing to do with Al Gore. The brother's talking about saving the planet. The world's not spinning because of what the government's doing. The world's spinning because God told it to. Amen. Why, how come prayer works? Just because God said, pray, ask, and it shall be given you. Amen. And so I'm glad that prayer has that force and that ability. And I've got a number of scriptures that I've got written down here. Don't have to go to and deal with that. So the first move's on God's part. He's opened the door and said, call. Amen. And we need to be doing that. Second move's on us. Second move is on us. I've got four children with three boys. Two of them are married. Our oldest son's the only one that's not married. Those three boys still live in North Carolina. Our daughter, she's the oldest. She's living in Virginia, married a young man in Virginia. So we're 10 hours away from our closest relatives and in our family. And I say to them, boys, if you need something, call me. Matter of fact, every now and then I get a little bit agitated. I texted my son last night, asked him, I don't know what his work schedule is. He works odd hours. And I said, are you working? And no response. And I said, call me when you can. No response. Amen. And I get a little bit aggravated that they don't call. Well, I wonder if God's in heaven saying, well, I left you a text right there that said, call me. Why don't you call? Amen. Amen. And so the move's on our side. The old saying is, the ball's in our court now. Amen. And it is on us. And so thinking about that, I'm thinking about why is it that we hesitate so often really to call on the Lord? Why is it that, you know, we have things that happen, our body gets to hurting, we get tired, things get hard, our mind gets preoccupied, our love grows lukewarm, and for whatever the reason is, maybe we talk to others, but we don't talk to the Lord about our troubles. Amen. I'm telling you, our prayer life is something that we ought to work on and ask the Lord to help us, that we would be more consistent and persistent in our prayer life. Amen. Why is it that we hesitate? Amen. Troubles arise in our life, and instead of going to the prayer closet, we get on the grumbling stool. Amen. Yeah. Get to grumbling about problems. And we pick up the phone and we text or we call or we email or whatever. We walk over and talk to somebody. Why don't we go to our prayer closet? God said, I want to hear your trouble. Amen. Amen. We so often hesitate. There's a song that says, oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. Amen. Why? I can't explain that other than it's the human failure in us that we hesitate to call on the Lord about our troubles. And then thinking about not only how often we hesitate, how quickly we give up.
Right.
Maybe we make the call one time. Maybe we knock one time. He's saying just keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Amen. Amen. They tell me that that's what the Greek here in these words, and I don't know Greek and Hebrew. I do have a Strong's Concordance, and I'm not against looking those things up, and I'm not against you if you know those things. But I'm an English student, and I do like to study those. But they say those that Greek word that ask, seek, and knock is in a perfect tense where we have past, present, future tense. They have that perfect tense. That is the idea that something that happens but keeps on happening.
Yeah.
Amen. And so that when God's saying ask, he's saying ask and keep on asking. Yeah. Knock and or seek and keep on seeking. And knock and keep on knocking. But you can see it right in the English. Look at our Lord explained it in verse number 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Look at verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. It's not a friendship basis. It's the fact that fellow won't quit asking.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. He won't quit seeking and he won't quit knocking.
That's right.
He said, though he will not give because he is a friend. Let me find it. But yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Amen. Amen. Often we see a need arise and we go to God in prayer, and because it's not answered in 5 minutes, we've got the mentality, we think prayer is a drive-through window.
Yeah.
We stop and say, this is what I want, pull around and pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not how God works.
No, it is.
Amen. Brother Downs mentioned that what Peter said, that a day is as a thousand years as a day. And I believe really what Peter was saying there was that time with God's a whole lot different. It's a whole lot different than our idea of time. God's not constrained by time, although timing is important with God. But time in itself, God's outside of all that. Amen. And so my point is sometimes we pray and we give up too quickly. And the Bible says here we ought to persevere. That's what he's talking about. He's teaching us not only to pray, but he's teaching us to persevere, to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Now here's my picture of what I think I see in that scripture. You've got, there's 3 men mentioned in these verses, verse 5 through 8. 3 men. There's the man in the middle, if I can say it that way. That's, and he's using us. We're the middle man. We've got a friend that's hungry, needing bread. We've got another friend that we know has got the bread.
Yeah.
Amen. And And so in this time of need, it's not for ourselves. We're not asking to consume it on our own lust. It's a literal need for a friend that's hungry, a friend that's traveling, a friend that needs something. And so they go, and so I see him. He goes up there, and the first thing he does is he asks. He said, "Will you give me some bread?" And the fellow says, "No, I'm in bed." And so he starts seeking. Here's what I think. I think he thinks, well, if he wouldn't come to the door, he won't get out of bed. He won't come to the door. He said, the door's shut. He won't come to the door. If I can walk around the house and if I can find the window, if I can see him face to face, maybe eyeball contact, he'll give me what I'm wanting. And so he starts seeking. And he goes around. Maybe don't find him at that way. So he goes back to the door and he knocks. And he knocks again. And he keeps on. After a while, that fellow says, he ain't going to give me no rest. He's not going to give me any peace. He's going to wake up the whole neighborhood. So what I'll do is I'll give him what he needs. Amen.
That's good,
brother. Amen. God, help us to pray that way.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe that's what the Lord's saying. He's saying, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Get a hold of the prayer bells of heaven. Get a hold of the horns of the altar. And don't give up. That's the point he's saying.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you this story, and I'll move to my last point in just a moment. But back in North Carolina recently, the church I pastored down there had a jubilee, and they'd asked us to come back. There's a preacher preached that I'd never met till last year, and he pastors in Hickory, North Carolina. Preached a message on hell. Really, he's preaching on having a burden for people going to hell. And he told this story. He said it was a true story, and I don't doubt that it was. He said there's a young mother in Florida, she had a toddler son. One day she is out, one summer day or spring day, she is out hanging up clothes on the clothesline. Toddler's just learning to walk and get out on his own a little bit. And she didn't realize it, but he'd gotten closer to the lake than he was to her, closer than she knew that he was. And she heard a noise, and immediately she looked, and when she looked, a gator had come out of that lake and had latched onto that little boy's boot. He had on boots and had latched onto that little boy's boot and was dragging him into the lake. That mother immediately dropped everything in her hands, and she ran down to where that boy was, and she grabbed him and started pulling him from that gator. And she kept on pulling and kept on pulling until eventually she rescued the child. The gator gave up and flopped back off in the water. But the child was so cut and so torn, somebody passed by and saw that, called 911. They came out with the ambulance. They rescued the child, took him to the hospital. And the doctor came out and he said, "Ma'am, we've got good news and bad news." He said, "The good news is your boy's going to live and he's not going to lose any limbs. But the bad news is he's horribly scarred and he's going to be scarred the rest of his life." And the mother said, "That's all right." And he said, "But ma'am, I've got a question. Which end of that boy did you have a hold of?" She said, "Well, I had a hold of his arms." And the doctor said, "That's amazing, because the gashes in his arms were deeper than the gashes in his legs." And here's what that preacher said. He said, "Mama wanted that boy more than the gator wanted that boy." God help us get a burden for sinners. We've got friends that need bread. Amen. They're hungry for the things of God. They don't even know it. Amen. We see their hunger and manifested in a chasing after the flesh and a chasing after sin. It's a manifestation. They need something on the inside. We've got a friend that needs bread. But we know where there's a friend that's got bread. Amen. And we ought to ring those prayer bells and ask and seek and knock and call till we see some of them get some help. Amen.
Amen.
First move's on God's side. Second move's on our side. Third move, back on God's side again. God invites us to ask. We finally accept that invitation. We make our petition. That's not the end of it. We'll pray. That's not the end of it. You've handed those requests over to your Father in heaven. Amen. Prayer does have objective or subjective results. In other words, prayer does help us. We feel better about it. But that's not all there is.
Right.
That prayer, you're praying for that boy or girl. Maybe you can't get to them and tell them about God. Maybe they won't listen to you. But you can get a hold of a God in heaven that they can't shut out. Amen. That they can't shut up. And they can't get away from. Thank God. He can hound them. Amen. He can deal with them and bring them. I believe he can arrest them and bring them to himself. Amen. Thank God prayer does work on that avenue. Look here in our scripture. He says in verse number 9, ask. There's our part. What happens next? And it shall been given you. He said over in Matthew, you go in secret, you pray in secret, our God which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Amen. And so the third move's his move. He will move. We can trust him to move.
Amen.
We can trust him to move. If we'll only make our move. Amen. He won't fail us. He said, ask and it shall be given you. When we ask God, sometimes God doesn't give us exactly what we ask for. Sometimes he gives us something better than what we ask for.
Yeah.
Amen. You may just ask for bread, he may give you cake. Praise God. He gives you something better than what you ask for. Because sometimes what we ask, we don't know how to pray as well. But we need the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us in prayer. But sometimes we ask amiss, and I realize that, and we don't know what to ask. But here's what Jeremiah, he talks about. He give us great amount of things which thou knowest not. Ephesians says he does exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. When God moves, he moves big, thank God. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad that he does. That last move's on God's part. And God will not fail the person praying. Amen. And he will not fool the person praying. Look at verse number 10 and down through verse 13. For everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone. Y'all underline that. Everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? God won't give you stones when you need bread. Amen. Matter of fact, that's the whole principle. When in that first temptation of our Lord, when the devil said, command these stones to be made bread, Jesus knew that if he needed bread, God, his Father, wouldn't give him stones. If all he had was stones, he must be all right with stones. Amen. Amen. But if he really needed bread, he could ask his Father, and his Father would give him bread. He don't fool us, and he don't fail us. He don't play tricks on us, is the point I'm making.
Amen.
Amen. He said, if you need bread, ask. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, let him give him, or will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In other words, God will not trick us.
No.
God will not mock us. Amen. Sometimes we hear people's prayer requests, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes we think, that's silly. But I doubt God in heaven mocks people when they pray. A little child can come and in their lisping way, not able to talk plain, don't understand a lot of things. They can come and ask God for a little something, and God in heaven loves that child enough that he may grant that little child's request. Amen. But at the same time, an elderly person with real big needs, I mean, they understand the drastic case that we're in. They understand, and they can come and call on God, and God's just as able to meet those real big needs as he is to meet those little bitty needs for those little children. Thank God for the big God that we have.
Amen.
Amen. Now, here's my last thing in conclusion. You remember the story of Jacob's ladder? Genesis 28, Jacob's fleeing. He's fleeing from Esau. Jacob made an enemy for life. If you got a twin brother and he becomes your enemy, you're in trouble, buddy. Especially if he's an Esau. But Jacob was a Jacob. Amen. But anyway, I ain't got time to preach all that. But Jacob's fleeing for his life. And of course, his mama fixed up this way. And Jacob was a trickster, but he learned it from his mama. And his mama, you know, figured this thing out and said, we'll send you down there to find you a wife. And so dad gave his blessing. Jacob's going down there for that. But as he's going, he don't know this will be the last time he ever sees his mama. He don't know if this will be the last time he ever sees his dad. If he ever sees Esau, matter of fact, in his mind, it's over. He's out. He's leaving the promised land. It's done. But he gets to Bethel. Bethel, however you want to pronounce it. He gets down there. And the Bible says that he lays his head. He don't have a pillow to lay his head on. So he lays his head on a stone, a pillar, a stone. And he goes to sleep. I imagine that as it is with us, when a lot of problems are going through your mind and you lay down and go to sleep, those problems are in your dreams. They're in your mind, still in that subconscious. In his mind, in his dream, he saw this ladder that reached all the way to heaven. Ladder that reached from heaven to earth. And he saw angels ascending and descending. That's the order. They're ascending and descending on that ladder. Amen. Now, when Jacob woke up, he said, the Lord was in this place and I knew it not.
Yeah.
It's sad that his grandpa knew that God was in that place and that the grandson didn't know. And I'm concerned today that there's a lot of places grandpa met with God there, but the grandchildren don't know that God's still there.
Yeah.
Same God still able to meet with them. Amen. But they, Jacob, in that dream, here's, I think it's a picture of prayer. I think Jacob, in that dream, it's as if he's got all those worries, those angels. God was already there. That ladder set up, and those angels are ascending. They're carrying up Jacob's burdens, and they're coming down with Jacob's blessings. Amen. They're taking up those needs and those desires and those wants, and they're coming back with God's supply and giving that to him, what he needs. Amen. And you say to yourself, you say, well, preacher, is that all prayer is? Prayer is us asking and receiving? No, it really goes deeper than that. But here's the point. God started it all. Jacob didn't put up that ladder. God put up that ladder. And God put those angels there. And God's offered you and us a ladder, an altar, a place we can get a hold of God. And the angels can carry up our needs, and they can bring down our supplies by the good grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Richardson.
I'm done.